Studios on the Pulse, WZON. Rich Kimble, Ryan Wehning, and on board the G&M Family Market phone line, it's our friend Trenny Kuznarek from Comcast Sportsnet New England. Trenny, welcome back.
Hi, guys. How are you?
We're doing great. And, well, welcome back to the show, but welcome back to America as well. You spent some time down in Rio covering the Olympics for NBC Sports. How was that experience?
It was amazing. It really was. It was a whirlwind, and it was long hours and long days, but it's covering the Olympics is a really cool experience. I mean, being able to, you know, especially when it's covering a sport like tennis, which is what my venue was, you know, you can be people who win, you know, millions of dollars for winning Grand Slams, and they're beside themselves crying over a gold medal, which, you know, in all fairness, comes with nothing really more than the honor of being a gold medalist, because tennis players don't get any tour points for it. They don't get any extra money. They actually miss out on points and prize money at other tournaments during that time. But it was really, it was amazing. And it was great to cover a sport that was something I don't ever do normally, and meet some, you know, athletes that I've never had the chance to interact with before.
What was your most memorable experience during your time in Rio?
Ooh, that's a good question. There are a couple. One was really early in the tennis tournament when Juan Martín Del Potro upset Novak Djokovic, who was the number one seed. You know, really had said before he went in that he wanted to win gold for Serbia, that this was like the one thing missing from his tennis resume. And when Del Potro upset him, he was sobbing. He had I've never had done such an emotional interview for a first round win in anything. So that was really cool. It was, I got to interview Monica Puig after she won the first ever gold medal, male or female athlete, representing the country of Puerto Rico. That was an amazing run to see. I was at the swimming for Michael Phelps' final individual gold medal, which he won in the 200 IM. That was pretty intense. But one of my most one of the memories that I think the story that I'll tell over and over again, and it's a funny, has nothing to do with sports memory, is my crew was awesome. And we went out to dinner the night before our event started. So it was the first Friday that we were all there. And I had a Brazilian audio guy, and he's like, I'm going to take you guys to the best steakhouse. You're going to go to the best steakhouse, the one that everybody likes to go to in Rio. It's got this great view. It's on the bay. Everybody raves about the food. It's a little pricier than other places, but it'll be totally worth it. I'm like, awesome, Paulo. Where are we going? What's the name of this place? And I kid you not, he's like, Fogo de Chao. And I'm like, you mean the one that I can eat at in the back bay on off of Newberry Street or off of Copley Square? And he was like, what do you mean? I was like, Paulo, that's a chain restaurant in the States. But it does exist and is held in high regard in Rio.
Wow. And we've got this wonderful seafood, too, that you're going to love. It's called the Red Lobster.
Red Lobster. It's fresh caught lobster. It's amazing.
Well, it sounds like a wonderful experience, and we're glad to have you back. And you made it back, as far as you know, without Zika, without getting in the nasty water.
Yeah, you know, again, I think like most instances, I mean, I think, you know, fortunately but also unfortunately, when you are a first world tourist going there, you don't really experience the same thing that someone who may live there and live with lesser means. So I stayed in a Hilton hotel. We had filtered water. I brushed my teeth with the water. I never got sick. I never had any issues with food. In terms of mosquitoes, it is winter there. I actually kept forgetting to put bug spray on. There were a couple nights where I was like, ooh, I can see the mosquitoes flying around. I'm going to put bug spray on. To the best of my knowledge, I don't have Zika. I haven't felt sick. They said I've been back now a full week, so I think by this point I would have been sick if I did contract the virus. So I didn't experience that, but it's always important to remember that because I stayed in a Hilton, you know, obviously there's a lot of, you know, residents of Rio who still deal with some really major, major sanitation issues.
Is it a place that you'd go back to on your own just to visit as a tourist?
Oh, hands down. I was actually really, the one thing I regret is NBC gives us the option to, stay and travel afterwards if you'd like, and then you can kind of fly back. They'll fly you back whenever you'd like. The only reason I didn't was because I was done before the closing ceremonies, and the friend who wanted to travel wasn't done until the 22nd, I think, so yesterday. I have to leave first thing Thursday morning for a wedding out west in Oregon, so it just didn't line up for me. But like Dallin, my colleague Dallin Cuff, who was also down there doing some stuff for NBCSN as a feature reporter, him and his new wife are down there. They're staying, I think, through the end of August. Wow. Traveling all around Brazil. So I would go back. I loved it. I thought the food was great. The beaches were beautiful. I'd really like to get to other parts of South America. I'd really like to go to Chile and Peru and Argentina. If you like wine, I mean, the wine was incredible. So, yeah, I would go back in a heartbeat.
Yeah, we just had a wine segment right before you came on, so I think we've answered that question.
You had what for me?
We had a segment on wine right before we brought you on. So.
Oh, yeah, there you go. I love wine.
There you go. Well, come
and
on.
Argentinian Malbecs are so delicious.
We're headed to South America.
It tasted better knowing it was just one country away.
We're talking with Trenny Kuznarek here on Downtown. Well, while you were away, the Red Sox gave fans a few more gray hairs along the way, but here they are, late August, tied for first place in the American League East. Does it seem like this is a team that should be contending for a playoff spot?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, I think strictly based on their offense, and the top of their rotation, even with the struggles that David Price has had, though he's been better as of late, I mean, there's no reason that this team shouldn't compete for the AL East. I mean, what are they now? They're tied, I think. Are they tied with Tampa? Or, excuse me, Toronto going into tonight?
They are, yes.
You know, and they've got that lead then in the wild card race as well. I mean, they're a good team. There's no doubt about it. But my only concern with them is that they're a little hot and cold. Thankfully, they never get too cold, but I don't know that they've ever gotten really hot either, where they've gone on a run, like maybe once that we would look back at 2013 and think, man, they went on a real run where you just felt they were never going to lose. And obviously, the back end of that bullpen, I mean, that is so crucial in the postseason. I think they'll make the postseason. I'm tempted to say they will get the first wild card. I don't know if they'll make it out of the wild card round, though. I, you know, when you get into postseason baseball, that switch goes on, and you need great pitching. And I just don't know if, for some reason, a starter falters, or even if a starter gets you into the sixth, seventh inning, hopefully eighth, because if they can't get you through the eighth without being able to trot Craig Kimbrel out there, there's no option there that I feel completely comfortable with. As someone watching the Red Sox.
Every move John Farrell makes gets scrutinized the way this season has gone. Fans spending too much time worrying about the moves of the manager, and is he being criticized too much?
You know, I'm not a fan of his in-game decision-making, and so my initial thought is no, he's not criticized too much because he does make a lot of questionable decisions. And I wasn't here, I think, or maybe I was, but I just gotten back and was still sort of like half paying attention. But the decision to go with Tozawa over
Matt Barnes.
Right now. Nope, not Matt Barnes. Came over from Arizona. I can picture him, Brad Ziegler. I can like picture him in my head. you know, instead of going with Ziegler, you went with Tozawa, and you're like, okay, Ziegler's been struggling, but Tozawa has been a shell of himself really the last year and a half. There are just times when, you know, a pinch running a pitcher for David Ortiz. Like, we're in the Stephen Wright mess because you use Stephen Wright as a pinch runner. You know, at that rate, why aren't we just, you know, I don't ever want to hear him complain about how pitchers shouldn't be hitting in a game. It just, I don't know. There's just a lot of times where I feel as though he feels the heat a little bit, and he's managing to save his job, not to win games, and he's managing a little tight and therefore making decisions that are adversely affecting his team.
Now, you said,
so, you know, I will say this, though. I don't think he is getting enough credit for how well the team is playing and how the team, again, like I said, never spirals out of control. I think that it's fair to call him out when he makes a bad decision, but it's also unfair to not give him credit for the way that he has, you know, managed a lot of injuries, managed a shaky bullpen, and has really ridden the ups and downs of that starting pitching staff.
And you said you think they'll be a playoff team. Do they have to make the playoffs for, A, for Farrell to keep his job and for this to be considered any kind of a successful season?
I think they definitely have to make the playoffs for this to be considered a successful season, if only because they've basically been in first or second place the entire season. I think they dropped to third, you know, for a short time there, what, in June or something before the All-Star break. I'll be honest, even if they make the playoffs, I don't know that guarantees Farrell his job next year. I don't feel as though anybody, what be it John Browski or John Henry, has ever given him the vote of confidence that you often see with managers who aren't on the hot seat. I mean, even the other day in the article that Mike Silverman did in the Boston Herald, when John Henry was asked about John Farrell, you know, he said, oh, there's all these things you don't see, the way he handles guys in the clubhouse and this and that, but there was nothing talked about the way that he actually manages the team. And at the end of the day, you can be the nicest guy in the clubhouse that you want, but if you're making decisions, and if I'm Dave Dombrowski, one of my concerns heading into the postseason, besides your bullpen, is how is my manager going to handle my bullpen? He hasn't necessarily shown this season that he is capable of making a decision that you feel completely comfortable with. And I think it speaks volumes that Dombrowski, not once since he was hired, has come out and said, this is my guy, this is who we're moving forward with.
Trenny Kuznarek, Comcast Sportsnet New England. Great to talk with you again, Trenny. Thanks, as always, and we'll catch up with you again very soon.
Cool. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
We're coming up on the top of the hour here on Downtown. A break for news, and we're back in hour three. Kyle Draper, Andy Hart, their favorite summer song, Dennis Price, an entertainment report, and the good, the bad, and the ugly.